Nice to be here. Great to see all of you. We're happy to have some of Gene and Clovis's family from all the way from Georgia. So welcome to all of you guys. Happy to have you with us. If you'll turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, we will be looking at that verse in a moment. I'd like to speak about the family this morning, and especially the Christian home and the Christian family, and the importance of it. And when we think about the Christian home and what a Christian home it is and how it should be built, the thing that I want to emphasize in that is how that God blesses Christian homes and how important that is for our own communities and our own country and for the church and for our own lives. And what a blessing the family is. And our president gave a very uplifting speech, I thought, the other night. And he called upon people throughout our country to work together in unity to make our country stronger. And he talked about the importance of the family and how that one of the goals should be to take away the power from the government in Washington and return it to the people. And how that he would like for families to be able to have choice of their own health care and the school that they wish for their children to be. And the importance of jobs and being able to work and support our families and be safe in our communities. And there's nothing more important in that than having godly families and Christian homes that we are helping to bring about in our own lives. By teaching our children, by helping to have good marriages, godly marriages, Christ-like marriages, and as parents, the importance of what we're doing as parents, that it is according to the will of God, that it is the kind of parenting that would be honoring and pleasing to God. And so I'd like to speak today about raising kids the way God does, the way that God raises His children. And I believe that is a sound principle, that when we consider for ourselves raising our children, how to do that properly, to look at God and ask the question, how does God raise His children? And that should be a model that we have in our minds as we set out to try to have a Christian home and raise our children in the way that God would have us to be raised. Imagine that you're sitting at a table and you have in front of you a pile of pieces of puzzle. And you began looking at those and trying to figure out how to put them together. And it occurs to you that these pieces of this puzzle are not all of the same puzzle, that they're just thrown together. And another thing that you notice is there is no box with a picture of this puzzle to guide you. And you began to wonder, how am I possibly going to do this? Well, welcome to parenting. Because sometimes that's about how we feel when it comes to raising our children. That we have great intentions, and yet sometimes we are almost at a loss of knowing what we should do. And yet, children are one of the greatest blessings that we will ever experience in our lifetime. And when we look in Psalms 127 and verse 3 through 5, Notice the words of the psalmist. He said, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them." So even though parenting is a challenge, and parenting sometimes we feel like it is almost, flipping a coin to know how we should, what decision to make in different situations that arise when we're raising our children. We always know in our hearts this is one of the greatest blessings that one of the greatest things that'll ever happen to me in my lifetime is to be able to have my children and have them as they are growing up and have an influence in their lives this way. So we ask for wisdom and we seek God's help in doing this. Good intentions are not enough, and good parenting skills aren't enough necessarily either. So what is needed? What do we really need? We need a foundation. We need something solid to build upon. We need a plan. We need God's purpose. We need God's principles. We need God's help in our homes. Certainly for God to be with us. And we need to look to His plan and His purpose and what He has in mind in the family. And so in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4, we can see Paul here speaking to that. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And as we look here, we see that God has a plan. He has a purpose. And that it is God's intention that God is going to be the foundation of our lives. And that our lives are in submission to God, first and foremost. That needs to be the guiding principle in as we raise our children, that our lives are centered around God and we are seeking to submit our lives to His will in all that we do. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, as Paul came to this part of the letter that he is speaking to the family and speaking of the marriage relationship and then of the relation of the parents and the children in both of these areas, he before starting in this, he said there, in verse 21 of chapter 5, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And that is the key to a good marriage. That is the key to raising children. That we are in submission to God in all that we are doing. And we need to understand that if I am to be a good husband or if I am to be a good wife, first and foremost, I'm to be submission to God. And the same is true to be a parent. That whether we are talking about being a child to honor your parent or a father and mother to raise your children, the first thing is that we are submission to God, seeking to do His will in our homes. And trying to communicate this with our children as we are with them and trying to raise our children to try to impart to them the understanding that mommy and daddy are trying to do this because we are trying to do what God wants us to do. And we make many mistakes in doing that. And looking back in my being a parent, the time that I was given the opportunity, I see that I made many mistakes. And so we look at God's standard and we try to follow that and honor Him and seek His help and seek His guidance and His will. And that is going to be the key of having a godly home. And as I say that, I believe with all of my heart that God blesses Christian homes. And yet many times people would say that we are Christians, therefore we have a Christian home. And that is not necessarily always the case. In fact, my observation many times is not the case, that we have not succeeded to build the principles of Christ into our homes. Even though we might profess that we are Christians, that there's a big difference between that and actually having a Christian home. For Christ is the center, and God's will and God's plan is truly being put into practice there. And we can see that this is a home that is following God's plan for our home. And so it really involves this idea that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it will bring a blessing from God. God has promised there in the Ten Commandments that if we honor your father and mother, that it will be a blessing in your life. And you will live long. I understand that is not meant as a 100% absolute guarantee of long life, that you honor your parents. Many things can happen. But I believe that as a general principle, God has promised that if you honor your parents in your life, throughout your life, that God is going to bless you in many ways, and that the chances are good that you will live a long and happy life here on this earth. But on the other hand, he says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And so he gives us very specific responsibilities as parents that and how to conduct ourselves, that we are to be in control of ourselves. So one of the lessons that I would like to present is that when it comes to disciplining our children, that we first need to be in control of our own anger, and that we need to sometimes take 5 minutes off and cool down before we discipline our children. So it's important that we keep ourselves under control to God and seeking to submit to His will in order to practice what God teaches us in being good parents. Like I say, we've all made a lot of mistakes when it comes to this. And unfortunately, you can't go back and undo some of the mistakes that you have done, even though you can look back, and hindsight is sometimes a lot better. But what I'm saying is that God gives us these principles, and He helps us if we are willing to listen and follow these principles to have a better home life. And so I want to begin this morning by talking about some examples of how to parent that I would not recommend these, and then to look at God's own example of how God is as a parent to us, and what that looks like then in our being better parents with our children. So the first example that I would give here is what I would call the everything goes parent. And that is no boundaries, no expectations, just let the kids do whatever they want to do. And so don't set any guidelines for them. Just basically let them raise themselves. That is, unfortunately, sadly, the way many children are being raised in our world today. No limits. Accommodate all their desires. Give them whatever they want. Don't put any high standards on them. And the main concern seems to be what others think of you as the parent rather than doing what is right as a parent before God. And so the concern oftentimes is controlling what the outward is, not the inward. That's one extreme. The everything goes. This leads to parenting by fear. I'm sorry. It leads to the idea that we don't tell our children what to watch on media. We don't set any limits to it. We don't put any difficult standards for them. There's no guidelines at all. So just follow the crowd, whatever is the fad, whatever we can pick up. You know, go on to Facebook, and maybe we can get a few ideas on how to be a better parent. And raising our families that way, mainly the idea is everything is okay, just stay out of my way so I can live my life and not be too much of an inconvenience to me, how I want to live. Well, that is, like you say, that is not one that I would recommend. The other one, it would be the over-controlling parent. The over-controlling parent. And that is the belief or the assumption, really, that raising our children... It assumes that strictness produces better behavior, that if we can control the outward behavior of our children, then the end result is going to be better. It's going to have the desired outcome if you control the outward behavior. So be in constant control over your children. Well, I believe that leads to fear. Being that the standard of how we raise children is based on fear rather than inner faith and relationship with God, and that we become afraid of what our children will be exposed to or who our children will meet, and we're trying as a... I understand that the goal of this is good, that we feel like, well, we need to control our children. We need to be careful who they associate with. But it has gone to an extreme. It is carried to an extreme, and that is the danger. the thinking that if we can control the outward, then everything is going to be well, but neglecting the inward development of their heart and their desire to be pleasing to God and to make those choices on their own based on their understanding of right and wrong and the desire to do what is right. Neither of these really is a godly framework for raising children, I don't believe, as I look at these. I believe there are problems with either direction that we go with this. It can have a devastating effect on our children, honestly, if we go to either of these extremes. It may cause them to turn away from us, to turn away from God, to turn away from the church. If we make our lives about a checklist of don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. We control their dress. We control what programs they watch. We control what they say. Just on and on we can go. But controlling the outward but not teaching and training the inward can be a wrong emphasis. I realize that we live in a world that there are many things, there are many influences that our children can be exposed that our desire is to protect them. But at the same time, the goal is that they're going to be able to live in this world eventually. We cannot hide them. We cannot protect them forever from being in the world that they are eventually going to be in. And the goal should be that they are going to be lights in the world. They're going to be a godly influence. Their life is going to radiate from the faith that they have in a positive way wherever they go, even though there is darkness out in the world. They are going to have a positive inner strength to be able to deal with that. And the book of Philippians says in chapter 2 and verse 14, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." So, in reality, our children are going to live in the world. Jesus said, "I do not take them out of the world, but I want them to be in the world, not like the world, but in the world." John chapter 17. In the world, but not of the world. So we all are going to live in the world. And our goal should be to help our children to be able to demonstrate living by Christ in a dark world. Whatever the culture may be that we live in, it is an ungodly world out there. But we can be a Christian. We can live for Christ and let our light shine. So, I mean, we could all move out to somewhere in Wyoming. I'm sure we could find a place out there and fence off about 20 acres and be protected, isolated from the world. But that's not what Christ wants. He doesn't want us to live our lives that way. And our children are going to rebel eventually if we take that approach. We have to provide them something within themselves. Christ, faith, godly principles to live their lives so that they can live in the world as it is and make a difference and be strong and not cave in to what is happening and make their own choices. Let them make their own choices. But it's okay to make mistakes. We need to let our children know that we still love them. And so we ask the question, how does God raise His children? How does God raise His children? And the answer is, He uses grace, lots of grace with us. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12, he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." God uses His grace with us. He teaches us right from wrong. He teaches us that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. He doesn't teach us to withdraw from the world or just put up fences. He teaches us to live a godly life, but He has grace with us. So many times we fail, and yet God is always willing to forgive us. And we need to have that grace with our children, that it's okay to make mistakes. We understand you're growing, you're learning. We have confidence in you. We love you. We're constantly behind our children, constantly encouraging them, helping them. That needs to be the pattern, I believe. That is how God raises us. We make mistakes. God allows us to grow. He still loves us. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us another opportunity to learn and to overcome those mistakes that we make. And so in Hebrews 4 and verse 15 and 16, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So God's grace is always there for us when we fail, when we make mistakes, when we fall flat on our face. God is still there to help us get back up and try to do better this time. We need to have that grace with our children. When we look at this verse, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The way that I read that for many years was that it is a guarantee that if I raise my children the proper way, they will turn out right. They will be faithful to God in their lives. But I've come to realize that that isn't what the Proverbs writer was meaning by that, or what he was really saying. What he is really saying is, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And it involves understanding the uniqueness of each child. That the way this child should be raised and the way this one should be raised may be two totally different ways. So we need to appreciate the uniqueness of our children. Appreciate that each one is different. Each one has a different personality. They have a different style of learning. And we need to be willing to apply to each one a personal touch and a personal training in helping them to grow through their strengths and their weaknesses, and as God works with us. God knows each of us personally, and He is very patient with us and forgiving. So when we think about that as how God raises His children with us, and He allows us to fail sometimes, and we grow, and He forgives us, and He is very patient, He's very loving, He gives us encouragement, He gives us hope, and He doesn't give up on us. How does that apply to our family as being parents? So first of all, I believe that it is teaching us to have unconditional love for our children. That each one of our children, we need to be behind them. We need to accept them. And we need to love them. And in Romans chapter 15 and verse 7... is a good example of this, where Paul says, therefore receive one another just as Christ received us to the glory of God. So Christ received us. Each one of us, He received us. And He hasn't given up on us. He hasn't cut us off. He hasn't abandoned us or turned His back upon us. And He's not going to. That is how we need to be with our children. We need to appreciate the way God made them. That they are unique. And they have a soul. They have a heart. They have a will. And we need to try to train them up in the way that child. Help that child to know God. Help him to understand their strengths and their blessings, their gifts that God has given them, their talents, their uniqueness is created by God. Constant encouragement. Give them constant encouragement. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as you also are doing. Encourage one another. We need to encourage our children. Always be encouraging them. Also, loving discipline. Loving discipline with our children. God disciplines His children, but He does so in love. It says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, He says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So it's important in our disciplining of our children that we always convey the love that is behind it. And so an important part is being in control of ourselves. Learning to always be in control of our anger when we discipline our children. And reassuring them that it's being done in love. Concern for their soul. Spiritual priorities of their lives. Putting spiritual priorities first. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, what shall a man do if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, we need to communicate those spiritual priorities always to our children. That it's not about how good a job they get, how much money they make in their career, what kind of car they drive, how nice a home they live. Ultimately, it's about their relationship with God. Their spiritual life, their spiritual priorities. Being a light, being an influence for God wherever they go. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And imparting hope to our children. And we're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17, He said, now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. You see, it's always about the goal of we're going to heaven someday. And that needs to be so clear to our children in our own lives and our own example. That we have hope. We have that hope that we are going to be in heaven when this life is over. And that's what it's all about. Our life is living to serve God, to be faithful to Him, that someday we will have a home in heaven. And we impart that hope to our children when they can see it in our lives. And see that mom and dad have that hope. They have that relationship with God in their lives. And that's what we are going to impart to our children. They see that example. And that example speaks louder than anything else that we say to them. So the question this morning is, what are you doing with your piece of history? You know, our children, they grow up so fast. And then they are on their own. And that we're given that little short piece of history in their lives, to have them in our home. And we are like a steward of our children before God. That He gives us that opportunity to have an influence and a role, a positive role in their lives. And as He is saying there in Ephesians, to train them up in the admonition of the Lord, the training of the Lord. So we can have an influence in our children's lives, instilling that hope, instilling that character of God, the grace, letting them see the grace of God through our own actions as fathers and mothers. That they sense the fact that God is present in this home. This is a Christian home where Christ is honored, and He is on the throne of this home. That is what sets that home apart. And God is going to bless that. So He said there in Psalm 127, once again, that children are a heritage of the Lord. They're a blessing from God. And He gives us this opportunity once in life to have an opportunity to have an influence for good, for eternity, in the lives of our children. May God bless us. May God help us to grow in this, that we truly honor Him in the way that we conduct our lives within our homes. If you're here this morning and you're subject to Christ's invitation, we hope that you will think about those things, and that if you are here today, you're not a Christian, I invite you to come to Christ. Commit your life to Him. Because in order to have a Christian home and to have a godly home and to have this plan that you put into practice in your home, first and foremost, your life must be right with God. You must submit your life to Him. Come to Christ and submit your life to Jesus and live with Christ in your life. And then you can be in a position to train and help guide your children to know Him as well. We're going to stand and sing. If you're subject, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.